So I'm just excited, man. Welcome to Wellness Wednesday. I hope that your week was good. I hope that your week has been great thus far. If you're hopping on now, like, share, subscribe if you're on YouTube. Subscribe to my channel. Share it with somebody who you feel is walking through their wholeness, wellness, healing journey, and you feel like they could use what we're talking about. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to sound like I'm at church. I don't want to belabor the time, as they say in church, but I want to go ahead and get started with this Wednesday. So like I said, I hope you guys had a blessed week. Fantastic week, man. We had a blessed week, yo. So if y'all seen anybody from my family over the weekend, if you've been online and you've been on Facebook and you've seen anything that anybody from my family has posted, you saw that we were able to celebrate my Uncle Anthony's 60th birthday on Saturday, man. So shout out to him. Shout out to my cousin Vera as well. She celebrated her birthday down in Florida. So happy birthday to her. Her birthday was on March 1st as well. But we were able to celebrate in person his birthday. His wife threw an amazing 60th birthday party. And when I tell you, we had a ball, man, we had a blast. One thing about my family, man, we gonna have a good time. It don't matter the occasion. It don't matter who's there. It don't matter what's going on. We are always gonna have a good time, and we're always going to celebrate each other. And that's something that I just love about my fam, is that we just love to celebrate, give each other our flowers while we're here. So we had a blast, man. They was cutting up on that dance floor. I got a few videos. They on my page. You can see Anthony, my uncle, and then just to be able to see my mom with her brothers and her sister. My Aunt Annie came up from Florida, and I just love watching my mom interact. My mom and dad, I love watching them both when they interact with their siblings, because I see so much of me and my sisters and the way that my parents interact with their siblings. And then especially when my mom gets around her cousins, I just see how my family, me and my cousins, interact the same way that my mom and her first cousins interact. So anyway, man, it's just great. Just thankful for our family. We had a blast, man. We had a blast. So without further ado, man, I want to hop right in and just kind of talk about what we came to talk about today. I think today's subject might be, I guess it's, you can call it, I don't want to call it controversial. I think it's something that there are a lot of opinions on when it comes to what I want to talk about. If you see the title, it's called Breaking the Cycle. And we're going to talk about what some people call generational curses. Okay. How do we break those cycles? Breaking those cycles, walking in freedom, walking in healing, helping how to heal from the trauma of past hurts, generation things that have been, that could be considered generational curses. I like to call them generational cycles or generational patterns, simply because saying you got a curse, you know, it's like you saying you got a curse, you need something to come and some magic spell to break it. And me personally, now I'm going to be honest. I used to, I guess you can say, subscribe to the notion that, you know, there were generational curses, or that there were things in my bloodline that I had to break, or I had to, you know, repent from in order to move ahead, or in order to see breakthrough in my life. And there was a time when I did believe that. And there was a time when I did preach. I'm not going to lie to you. I preached it. And I wasn't preaching, you know, I'm not ashamed of what I preached. I just think as you grow, you begin to learn things and you open your lens to different things and you see things differently. And so as I just begin to study the word and study the scripture and just, you know, spend more time with God and gain understanding. For me, what I just came to understand was that it wasn't necessarily a curse that was per se upon my family or upon my bloodline or upon somebody else's bloodline. There were patterns and generational cycles and things that we saw that we would just were prone to repeat because we saw somebody else do it. Some people may say that's a curse. I don't say that's a curse. I personally say that that is a cycle. I say that that is a pattern, that cycles are generational, that you have good patterns and you have bad patterns. You have good cycles and you have bad cycles, but either way, they're both generational. It becomes generational. So we're going to dive right in. I got some notes so I can stay on task, and I hope that we get some good conversation. Y'all know, because I love a good combo. If you see me looking off to the side, it's because I'm looking at my notes, because I want to make sure that I stay organized. So anyway, let's hop right in. So again, something that I feel, you know, growing up in Pentecostal denominations and even non-denominational spaces, generational curses was something that was taught. Like, it was just like taught, like this is why you got a generational curse, you got to break it. And for a long time, I really believed that. I'm like, man, I can't get ahead in life. I can't break through on my finances. You know, I'm always broke per se, or whatever the case may be. I can't get a good job. I get a job, I lose a job. You know what I'm saying? Like, there were so many things that I looked at in my life and I'm like, I'm going to trace this back to a curse, or I'm going to trace this back to something that my granddaddy did. So, you know, in the scripture, I got some scriptures just to kind of to understand why I believe that and why I was taught that and why at one point I believed it. But as I got older, and especially now at this point in my life, like, I personally don't believe that my bloodline is cursed. I don't believe that. I don't believe that your bloodline is cursed. I personally don't believe that. I believe that there are cycles and patterns that we pick up and that we're prone to repeat because it's what we're used to, right? So there are certain things in our lives that we see that we are just prone to repeat, and it could be good or bad. It doesn't necessarily have to be a bad pattern or a bad habit, but more often than not, we pick up the bad traits or the bad habits. I believe that there are things that are passed down generationally through DNA. Come on, if you come to a family reunion, we all look alike. We all have certain traits in my family that are passed down. We all look alike. My uncles, and they all look alike. Their sons all look alike. I used to didn't think I looked that much like my mom's side of the family, but the older I get, people are like, yeah, y'all cousin, I can tell y'all, like, we all look alike. We have traits that have been passed down from generation to generation. There are things that are innately inside of us that are passed down from generation to generation. Does that mean it's a curse? No. It just means that genetically, the DNA of our ancestors has been passed down to us. Me and Randy went down to New Orleans last year, and we were able to visit a plantation, and it just opened my eyes to so many different things just about us as people, as us as Black people, and then a lot of things concerning, y'all know I'm a church baby, I'm a church boy, I'm a church kid, so I equate a lot of my experiences to what I've experienced in church because it has framed my way of thinking. It has framed the way that I look at life. The things that I've learned from the church has literally framed my way of thinking. That's not a bad thing, but I'm also trying to unlearn so that I can be more open-minded, because I know that I've been closed-minded to a lot of things because of the way I grew up in church. And that's me. It's not a bad thing, but I'm just trying to break free of those generational habits or those generational cycles that have been passed down from generation to generation. So one thing that I saw at the plantation was how everything that had to do with Blackness and African religion and African spirituality, it was all deemed witchcraft by the same people who gave us Westernized Christianity. So because they deemed everything that connected us back to our roots in Africa, they deemed it witchcraft and demonic. Anytime we try to connect with our roots of where we come from or who we are, or I want to understand who I was before slavery, and you start to read things and start to find things, people always want to demonize that as demonic. And I'm like, it's not demonic. See, that's a cycle right there. That's a cycle of generational cycle that, because we don't understand something, we demonize it and we call it witchcraft, da 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 da. That becomes a cycle. I'm telling you, it's a cycle in our, again, I'm not trying to go down that rabbit hole because that's not what I'm here for, but I hope we understand that some things have just been indoctrinated into us without our consent. You grow up in these spaces. We grow up in these spaces and they teach us things that was just passed down. We don't vet certain things. We don't research certain things. We just repeat it because we feel like, well, they did it, so it has to work. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with some of the things that we've been taught or we've learned. But a lot of the things that connect us back to who we are as a people, they called it witchcraft and they demonized it because they didn't want us to connect with who we were. They didn't want us to connect with our ancestors, and they didn't want us to connect with where we come from because they knew that the power that we have. All right, so I'm about to go on that. You do your own research, you come to your own conclusions. All right, that's what we're here for. So, but I'm saying all that to say is that could be considered a generational cycle, because the moment I say, hey, I saw this about African spirituality and it's not too far off from what we practice in the Pentecostal church, they're going to deem it witchcraft. But I'm like, is it witchcraft or is it just something that somebody who wanted to keep us bound by slavery told us so that we didn't break free? Y'all get me? All right, cool. So I used to believe that I had to ask God to forgive me for the sins of my great, 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 great grandparents. I'm like, man, I got to sit up here and repent and come to the altar. And I got to go through all these things to just be free in my own life. And I'm sitting here coming to the altar Sunday after Sunday because they told me that I have to repent for the sins of my great grandparents and my great granddaddies because of a scripture that people read that they take out of context. So I'm going to read the scripture. This is what it says in Exodus 20 verses 4 and 5. It says this, and this is part of the 10 commandments. So this is why I encourage you to read this word for yourself so that you can gain an understanding of what you've been taught and how you've been taught it so that you can live free, because trauma can be passed down. And that's something that I learned in going to that plantation, is that trauma is generational. Trauma can be passed down. Like, we're still dealing with the effects of slavery, man. It's crazy. And that's not what we're here for. So I ain't gonna get off in that. I just encourage you to do your own research. All right. So anyway, Exodus 20 verses 4 and 5 says this: you shall not make for yourself a carved image. They talk about have no other gods before you. Any likeness or anything that is in heaven above, or that is on earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Now, verse number 5, this is where they get that whole, you got to repent for your granddaddy and all that. Okay. I didn't even know my great grandparents. So why am I repenting for something that I had? I don't even know them. They were gone when I was born. So how can I repent from their sins when I wasn't even there when they did them? Anyway, so it says, you shall not bow down to them nor serve them. Watch this. For I am the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Right here, this is the clause that people take, especially in deliverance circles. This is the clause that they take. Visiting the sins of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations. They stop there. All right, so I was taught, man, I'm telling you, I'm just sharing some of my experience. I was taught that because of that scripture, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations, right? They stopped there. That clause was taught that because I struggle, because I'm having sex before marriage, right? You know, in the Christian denomination, the Christianity, sex before marriage is considered the ultimate sin. Or I'm struggling having sex before marriage. I gotta come to the altar because there's some type of generational curse upon my family that has to do with fornication. And so I gotta keep coming to this altar and repent for the sins of my great-great-grandparents. Because the scripture says, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations. If you are stuck in a cycle, or if you are stuck in some type of curse or something that you just can't get breakthrough in your life, you have to go back and start tracing your family history and figure out who in your family started the first person to have sex before they got married, because they brought a curse of fornication upon your family. This is something that was taught to us. And y'all can get on here, y'all can argue with people, y'all don't care. Y'all can call me crazy, say what you wanna say. I know what I know, I sat under it, I was taught it, I believed it to an extent, and I preached it. But the scripture goes on to say, it says, and fourth generations, of those who hate me. So if I don't hate God, then why would he visit the iniquity of my ancestors upon me? Ain't got nothing to do with me. So I was taught that there are, if I'm struggling financially, I can't break through in my finances, somebody in my family refused to tithe. Oh man, I'm telling y'all, dog, I'm breaking free. I'm free. And I can speak on it. I'm free from all of that, because that has nothing to do with me. You telling me somebody down the line of my family, they refused to give an offering. So now it's a curse upon my life because they didn't do something, and I'm talking that in the church context, but how many people go through life feeling that because they can't break through, whether they can't get a good job or they struggle academically or they can't get into college or they struggle with their relationships or they have children out of wedlock. It's so many things that we can look at to say it's a curse on my bloodline. My bloodline is cursed. Because my family ain't millionaires, my bloodline is cursed. Because we stuck in poverty, my bloodline is cursed. No, you are not cursed. I'm telling you. I'm here to let you know that you are not cursed. So I'm going to read a few couples. Sometimes it comes from an elder we assume is correct and follows suit. That is exactly right. And a lot of times in those spaces that we're taught to not question. And this, and y'all going to hear me say a lot of the same stuff over and over and over because I heard this stuff for so long that it became ingrained and indoctrinated in me. And I just believe that in order for me to be free, I have to repeat the freedoms over and over and over until the freedoms become truths. Lies were truths, okay? So if you hear me say certain things over, it's because I believe that your words have power and you have to speak things and you have to say things and you have to repeat things. Repetition, come on, you have to have repetition. And I believe that for me. So I repeat these things over and over. And you can ask Randy, I talk about this stuff all the time and she probably be so sick and tired of me, but I want my family free. There's freedom in knowing the word for yourself, I'm telling you. There is freedom in just knowing what this word has to say for you and how it applies to you. I'm not saying that there isn't truth to this, but the way that it was taught, it was taught to keep us bound. It was taught to keep us depending on systems that don't really serve us. But we're talking about breaking the cycle. So for a long time, I thought that I had to continually repent for something that somebody in my family, I don't know who it was, it could have been one of my crazy cousins. I'm repenting for something from generations ago. And I'm constantly, Sunday after Sunday, coming to the altar to repent for something when in reality, first of all, just teach me self-control. Just teach me and let me know that the way that God created my body is functioning correctly. Now I have to learn to govern my body. Listen, if I consider myself a Christian and I follow the principles that I shouldn't have sex before marriage, but I have these desires, don't demonize my desire and tell me that I have a lust demon. No, God created me to want to be with my wife at the time, my girlfriend, at the time, my fiance. It's normal. Like the desires I had were normal. Teach me self-control. If you teach people how to govern themselves accordingly, as we like to say in the church, then there are a lot of things that we probably could avoid, right? The choices of the people who came before us should have no bearing on how we move forward or measure our success. But unfortunately, more often than not, people use that as an excuse not to move forward or do better. Listen, you all up in what I feel that God wanted me to share and talk about today. Like seriously, like you're all up in it, Jaleesa, I promise you. And I'm going there. Like what you said, I'm going there. But yeah, so if I would have just learned that, first of all, my natural desires are it's natural. Like, I'm not a crazy man because my wife looked, my fiance at the time, Randy, looking good. She beautiful and she all that. And you know, I want to whatever. But teach me. If y'all would have taught me from 14 and 15 and not just tell me you're going to have sex and you're going to die and go to hell, I'm not having sex because I'm afraid. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm scared of hell. Like, teach me self-control. And that's not just for sex, but for my money. Teach me how to manage my money. Like, teach me how to manage my emotions. Like, teach me, give me the basic life skills and not just so much church stuff. Not just so much you got to be extra spiritual and you got to be so deep. Like, because we so deep and then we go to school and we drowning. This is practical to me. And I ain't talking about something that I haven't. This is practical. As I got older, I began to understand that, man, the Bible, it's practical. It's practical wisdom. Yes, it's deep. Yes, it's knowledge. Yes, it's great understanding. But in your everyday life, we need to be able to pull out the practical principles so that we can walk this walk and be effective. I'm just trying to make it through the day. I'm just trying to go to work and literally not get mad at one of these people, not get mad because they side-eyeing me. Like, I don't need to speak in tongues. I don't need to do all that. I need to know how to manage my anger so that when somebody say something crazy, I don't want to go off on them, right? Exactly. And that's the problem being a church kid. They taught us don't have sex before marriage, but didn't tell us why we shouldn't. It's more just physical. What's up, Bree? It's exact self-control and discipline. Self-control and discipline is so important. And I'm going to tell you, if you had said, man, I was getting it in, you know what I'm saying? But I'm still here. I still made it. I'm still here. By the grace of God, we're still here. So the mistakes that we may have made, yeah, we made them. We learned from them. But I'm not going to beat nobody up, and I'm not going to condemn nobody to no hell, because shoot, the gospel is simple. People make it hard. I'm telling you, it's simple. It is so simple. It's so simple to understand, but we want to be so deep. And that goes back to a lot of these things about cycles or things that people deem generational curses. The reason why I say that I don't call them generational curses, and I don't believe that your bloodline is cursed or that you're cursed or anything like that, simply because, dog, we was, we had a good run. The reason why I personally, this is me, my personal reason why I don't subscribe to the notion that my bloodline is cursed, well, it's because that I feel like when I gave my life to Christ, he broke every curse that was ever upon my life. So anything that was cursed in my life, the moment that I accepted Christ as my savior, the moment that I gave my life to him, he broke the curse. And we're going somewhere, I promise you, we're going somewhere. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Galatians 3:13. And I want you to go back and read all this on your own and study it for yourself so that you can understand that if there are areas in your life where you can't seem to break through, where you can't seem to find breakthrough from, just know that God has redeemed you from any curse that has been upon your life. God has already redeemed you. He's redeemed you from any curse that is upon your life. So it says that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. When Jesus died on that cross, he became a curse so that any curse in my life becomes broken. There is no word curse. There is no spell. There is no superstition. There is nothing that anybody can speak over my life that Christ hasn't already broken. So that goes back to this thing of generational curses. Man, there are cycles that we are prone to repeat. If I grew up in a house where there was alcoholism, I don't have the curse of alcoholism. That's a cycle that more than likely I've seen somebody become an alcoholic. I lived close to it because of proximity. It was in my vicinity. I watched it. I saw it. There's a high probability that I'm going to repeat that cycle. And so if great granddaddy beat his wife, then granddaddy probably beat his wife, then daddy gonna beat his wife, then I'm probably gonna beat my wife. And this, I'm just giving an example. Don't be like, dang, they beat their wife. No, I'm giving an example, okay? I'm giving an example. So the probability of you becoming a product of your environment is a lot higher in that environment than somebody who didn't grow up with that. It's a learned behavior. A learned behavior is not a curse. It's something that you can learn. And just as easy as you learned it, you can unlearn it. I get upset when people, you know, I share a lot of things about the church in general, not the church that I attend, not the church that we're members of, not anything like that. When I talk about the church, I talk about the church in general and experiences that I've experienced in the church. I told, at the time he was my pastor, I told him this. I said, my issue with the church, I said it. I said, y'all don't teach self-control. You only teach consequences. You don't teach self-control. You only teach consequences. And then when you teach those consequences, you teach them as if it's a generational thing. It's a generational curse. So the thing that you struggle with is not something that you can break free from. You got to stay here and come to this altar and throw up every day, every Sunday. And I'm wondering, like, people coming to the altar and they not free. People were not getting free. I'm like, so is the curse broken or are they still cursed? Because the Bible says that cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So if Jesus died on the cross, he hung on a tree for my sins. So when he hung on that cross and died, then he took all the sins and the curses with him and he broke the curses. Am I under a generational curse or am I not? Because somewhere it's a contradiction. And I would ask those questions and I would get no answers. So I'm like, so am I cursed or am I not cursed? Because if the Bible says one thing, but we're taking a scripture from the Old Testament that doesn't even mean what they taught it, and the if Christ fulfilled the law, man, this ain't supposed to be a Bible study, but today it's turning into a Bible study because knowledge sets you free. If you don't know, you'll stay bound. So I live my life and I try to live my life according to this word, and I try to follow this word as close as I can, and I try to do what this word says because I want to be an example. I don't always get it right, but I try my hardest to do what this word says. But if the Bible teaches us that when Jesus died on the cross, he fulfilled the law, right? Because the Old Testament is considered the what? The law. Again, this is a quick Bible 101. It's considered the law. So if Christ died on the cross to fulfill the law, any of those curses that are in the Old Testament or the law, they no longer apply to us today. So why do we tell people that because you can't get over the hump, you're cursed? I'm going to read some comments. What'd she say? A learned behavior, or they choose to not entertain it at all. Yeah, exactly. What she said, that's why a lot of people stay away from church, because it's too much to be doing every Sunday. Woo, I'm telling you. Man, I'm telling y'all, this, the reason why I do this is because I want us all to be free. I love church. I love God. I love going to church. I will never tell you to not go to church. I encourage you to find you a church that resonates with your spirit, that teaches what you believe, that has a community that you love. I encourage you to find you somewhere that you can get around some people to grow. Because I've been on the island when we left our church, and it is not a fun place to be on, especially when you're so used to having people in your corner that you can depend on. And then you leave that place and you leave that space and you're just out here. And I thank God that we have people to depend on and lean on, but it is a scary place. So I want to encourage you. I don't do this to come against the church or to say don't go. I do this so that you have freedom and understanding, so that if you do go to a place where it's teaching and preaching and doing something that's like, no, that ain't what that ain't, that you don't be like me and stay longer than you should have, and now you gotta unlearn so much of this trauma that you've been through. Man, I'm telling you, I do this for y'all, so that people don't have to go through the things that I experienced, and so that you can say, you know what, somebody just told me that, and you can kind of have an intel, like, you know what, that may be a little fishy. So that's why I do this, that we can learn from. If I let you walk out the door and there, and I know that there are no stairs right there, I'm continuing a cycle. As y'all call it, I just put a generational curse on you because you're going to walk out that door and fall. But if I tell you there's no stairs and you choose to go, that's on you. Come on, the Bible says lean onto your understanding. Yes, because we be jacking stuff. We be having it all jacked up. And I don't claim to know it all. I promise you, I don't. Man, I don't claim to know everything. I just know from experience, and I honor everybody's lived experience. But I tell you, my parents told me, hey, if somebody up there preaching and it's something that you don't understand, go study it so that you know what they're saying, so that you can understand it. And I don't want people to be stuck in places that where you're literally just dying. Like, you're just dying on the inside, man. There are a lot of good churches out there. There are a lot of good pastors. There are a lot of good ministries. And I advocate for those ministries. But for the ones who ain't doing right, nah, man, run. Get out. So it's hard to find anyone that focuses as you do with just teaching instead of entertainment aspect, from my experience. That's why I choose. Yep, because I'm in that space as well. And I've grown up in church. You experience all of it. It's funny to me because I've been a part of so many different movements and phases of church, from when we ushered in praise and worship to the praise dancing and lights and all of that stuff. I definitely understand where you're at, and I hope that you can find somewhere. But in the meantime, there's nothing wrong with online and finding something that resonates with you. We need spaces like that. I personally don't feel like everybody's going to go. We need things like this to help us. I just want to create an informal space where we can talk and keep it real and just talk about how to apply the Bible to our everyday lives. I love the institution of the church. I think it's needed, but I also think that you should find somewhere that works for you. All right. So we got that out the way. So y'all know my heart. Y'all know what I mean by that. But yeah, I agree with you. As you get older and you start to want to get rid of so much of the, I call it the fluff or the things that really don't matter, you start to say, like, man, I just want to go somewhere where they're teaching and it's good and I can grow. I can take what you teach me and I can apply that when I walk out these doors on Sunday, that it only doesn't work in this building, but it works when I'm driving in my car and somebody cut me off and I got the notion to want to cuss them out. But I learned that, hey, like, be angry and say, than not. So I can be angry. I can want to cuss you out, but I'm not going to cuss you out because I don't, you know, I don't want to cuss you out. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, like it's plenty out there. But yo, so getting back to this, it says that curses anyone who hangs on a tree, right? So if Christ died for our sins, if Christ died for us and he rose again and he hung on a tree to become a curse, why do we still teach people that your family or your bloodline is cursed? Why are we still teaching that? Like, seriously. People, again, there are a lot of opinions around this, and I'm just giving my opinion and my personal experience, because what I learned is that, you know, today I come to talking about learning, you know, to cry. I'm telling you, coming to the altar for the same, they knew why I was coming to the altar. I hop right off that keyboard. I didn't got to tell you why I'm here. You know why I'm here. What did Marshawn Lynch say? I'm just here so I don't get fined. Hey, you know why I'm here. You know why I'm at this altar. You know why I'm here. You know exactly why I'm here. My hands are unclean. My hands is dirty. You know why I'm here. But we taught that. We taught that and we continue in the cycles. And it's like, man, help us to have self-control. Teach me. How do you break cycles? You do the opposite of what's been done to you. How do you break a cycle? If I see that there's a cycle of just, let's just say, alcoholism, you know why I'm here, Janae. I know why you was there. But if there's a cycle of, let's say, alcohol or a cycle of alcoholism in your family or that you see, how do you break that? You don't do what's been done before. You simply do something different. And a lot of times it's so hard to do that because it's comfortable. Man, cycles are comfortable. Let's not lie and say that it ain't comfortable. Like, it's comfortable when you end something because it's familiar. You know what to expect. You know how it's going to go. You know that if I do X, Y, if I do A, B, and C, I'm going to get C. If I do A, B, C, I'm going to get D, E, F. And it's just, you know, I know that. But breaking a cycle, I'm not going to lie to you, it is very hard because it's not comfortable. Like, let's not get it twisted and be like everything is all roses all the time, because it's not. Like, life happens to us all. We all experience life. We all experience hardships. We all go through things. And just because you're going through something, it is not a result of some sin that is in your life. Yeah, it's not. But also because we aren't taught the importance of discipline. Just because you go through one thing, for me, that I definitely struggle with was my finances. Like, you know, like, even to this day, like, I am becoming more and more financially responsible. You know what I'm saying? But I struggle with just my finances. And I'm gonna tell you, I was an avid tither. I preached it Sunday and I taught it, and I believe in the principle of giving. I believe in the principles of tithing. Like, so don't get it twisted, but I'm just sharing you my personal experience. Like, I gave and I still struggled. And I'm like, why am I giving and I'm waiting for this big, gigantic financial breakthrough? And the Holy Spirit, like, you giving, but you're also undisciplined in the area of your finances. Like, you don't have to buy everything that you want. You don't have to go spend your money on everything that you want. You have more than enough, but you spend more than you have. But because I couldn't break through in my finances, even though I was giving, even though they told me that if I didn't give, I was under a curse. So I gave, and I still struggled. It wasn't until I got married and just over the past year and a half or so, when Randy was like, yo, you gotta calm down. Like, you're reckless. You gotta chill on Amazon. You gotta chill on your purchases. You gotta stop. Because you have, like, we went over my finances and looked at, I have, man, God has blessed me. I have a great job. Like, so I know that we have more than enough, but I didn't have enough because I was spending more than I had. It wasn't because there was a curse in my life. It was because I lacked discipline. How do I change that cycle? And this is the crazy thing. We talk about generational curses. I ain't seen my daddy spend money like that. Nah, my dad, bro, I asked my dad for 10, he giving me 5. I asked my dad for lunch money, he giving me $1.35 to buy lunch. He's not giving me no more. So it wasn't like I saw my dad do it, because, I mean, 10%, but I'm telling you, how can I give this, I ain't gonna say measly 10%, because in the grand scheme of things, it's only 10%. Listen, how can I give this 10%? I still got a whole pizza. Think about it as a pizza. Say you got a pizza that has 10 slices, and you give 10% of 10 is one. So I give away one slice. I still got 9 slices. If I can't get full off of 9 slices, I have a gluttony problem. I have a problem where I just want. I have no discipline. If I got a pizza and I give away one slice and I'm still struggling with the other 9, it's not a curse. It's me. It's something in me that's probably lacks discipline. I'm telling y'all, we're gonna be free. If it's one thing that we gonna be on this, is free. I didn't see my dad. I saw my dad very disciplined in his finances. I saw him very disciplined in the things that he purchased. I watched him. I observed him. Now, just because I watched him don't mean that I picked up those traits. So if I could have a generational curse, how come I couldn't have a generational blessing in picking up the good habits that my father practiced in his finances? Now, I'm going to let y'all think about that while I read some of these comments. Oh, Bri, I'm telling you, it's all of us. It's all of us. It's all of us. Like, we're all in this together. We're all walking this thing out. And the thing that I love about it is that we have to learn to give ourselves grace, because we deserve grace. I'm telling you, it's going to be a few things that you hear me say over and over, because I want those things to be ingrained in you, because it was ingrained in me that I was a wretch undone and I didn't deserve nothing. And come to find out, like, God gave me so much grace that I deserve that grace. Yeah, I was a sinner. I fall short of his glory. But he loved me so much that he gave his life for me. And I deserve that grace. So if God gave me that grace, give yourself that same grace, right? How can we teach people you only get the bad stuff from previous generations? Like, I saw my uncles, and a lot of my uncles are good with their finances. And I saw them, and they're in my bloodline. But how come I'm not good with my finances? Is it because that I was taught to give, and that if I gave, that God was always going to meet my need? So if I knew that God was always going to meet my need, that I was just reckless with what I had? Oh. If I was just taught that God was just always, and I believe that God will always meet your needs, but the Bible says faith without works is dead. The Bible also says that to much is required, to much who is given, much is required. Listen, if I'm not a good steward over the 10, why is God gonna bless me with 100? See, we have to go back and start to realize that a lot of the things that we deal with or things that we go through is not necessarily a reflection or a result of some sin in your life, some generational curse. It's not always a result of that. It a lot of times comes back to, and Janae just, it comes back to discipline. Am I disciplined enough? There's a story in the Bible where a man gives 3 people different talents. When he gave 10, when he gave 5, and when he gave 1. The one with 10 went out and doubled his. The one with 5 went out and doubled his. The one with 1 went out and buried it. The master came back and said, I need a report of what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with what I gave you? One said, I went out and I doubled it. He was praised. The other one said, I went out and I doubled it. But the one who had 1 said, it wasn't a lot, so I went and I hid it. Not only was the master upset with him, he took what he had and gave it to the one that doubled it. So sometimes the reason why things aren't happening for us is because instead of working with what we have, we hide it or we bury it or we squander it away. And so God said, you're not going to be faithful with it. I'm going to give it to somebody who's going to use it and make something of it. I need to go to somebody's church and preach, because I need to set some people free today. Come on. Yes, it's grace, discipline, and that's what I'm telling you. So a lot of times, the reason why things in our lives aren't going the way that we want them to has nothing to do with the generational curse. It could be a cycle. It could be discipline, poor habits. Man, I'm talking to me, because I have a habit. I'm getting so much better because I don't want to leave this earth and I leave Avery with all my debt. That's a curse. If you die and you leave your children with nothing but debt, and now they're stuck to pay off your debt. See, this is how cycles happen. This, and I'm not trying to go back to the whole, because I got a few more things to hit on. But going back to the plantation, we talk about cycles. We already know when we brought here, we were brought into slavery. We don't want to talk about cycles. So we're already 350 years behind, because We couldn't own land. We were proper. We were considered somebody else's property. Like, we had no rights. So the cycles that were done to us as a people, we are still paying for the effects of those things. A lot of time, man, and I ain't bought it yet, but I want to buy it. But so what am I saying? That we do feel the effects of things that were done by generations before us. And because sometimes those effects are negative, we consider those effects a generational curse because we are facing the negative consequences, right? But it's not a generational curse. It's just the fact that people before us weren't always good stewards of what they had, right? So it goes back to, I'm going to talk about me and my generation and my small family. So if I go out here and I'm reckless at my job and I get fired, I have to deal with the judgment of me getting fired. But now, because I got fired, it creates a ripple effect to the point where now Randy's going to have to work harder. And now Avery is going to feel the effects of Randy working harder, me being fired, and her not having the things that she may necessarily need and necessarily want. See, that is a ripple effect. That is not a generational curse. Avery is not judged by my poor judgment, but she's going to feel the effects of decisions that I make, good and or bad. And so for so long, I believe that people taught that the consequences or the effects of decisions that came before us were generational curses, where in fact they were not. They were simply that, the effects of choices that were made years and years ago. We are still feeling the effects of the choices that people made during COVID. How many people lost their jobs? How many people lost their lives? Right? That's not a curse. Those are the effects of choices that were made by people who came before us. And it works the same way in our lives. If you go out and you get drunk and you drive drunk and you hit somebody and you kill somebody, the person who you killed is not judged by your actions. It's because you made a poor decision, and your poor decision led to some terrible consequences. That's what it boils down to. And that's the whole point of this, is that to help us understand that everything in our lives is not a curse. You are not a curse. Your bloodline is not cursed. Come on, you can't heal what you cover up. You got to address it. Your bloodline is not cursed. You are not a curse. Your children are not cursed. Your children's children are not going to be cursed. Your great-great-grandchildren ain't cursed. Your great-granddaddy wasn't cursed. Your grandma wasn't cursed. Your family is not cursed. And I'm going to say that over and over and over. Do we feel the effects of choices that they made before us? Of course. Of course. As Black people in general, we feel the effects of not being able to own homes when they allowed other races to buy homes, when homes were $10,000, right? And we couldn't buy those homes and we had to rent. So now there are other races whose homes were $10,000 back in the day. And now the value of those homes are in the in the hundred thousands, maybe even in the millions. So they set themselves up for generational wealth because they were able to get in. Because we couldn't get in, we are still trying. We're playing catch up. It is not a curse. It is a result of actions that were done to us that were meant to keep us by design to not get ahead. Woo! I'm telling you. And that ain't even the message. You know what I mean? So it's just trying to help us understand that in your own family, you're not cursed. I got a couple more scriptures that I want to hop on real quick. So again, like I talked about how I saw people come to the altar. I went to the altar again, Sunday after Sunday. And I think we kind of hit on it, that a lot of us lived our lives believing that the reason why we can't get ahead is because we're stuck in this curse, that we're cursed. But I'm telling you, you're not. I'm going to say that until the cows come home. You're not. I got to have my coffee, my iced latte. Let me hit a couple comments. I heard a prophetess tell me that. She told me you can't heal what you won't reveal. That don't mean you go tell all your business. That don't mean you go tell the whole world your business, but it definitely means that you tell God your business, or you begin to open up that, you know what? I do struggle with that. I did struggle with sex before marriage. They're talking about me. Like, yeah, it wasn't a curse. It was like, nigga, I was a horny teenager, and nobody taught me self control, and they told me that my natural functions were demonic. And so now am I fighting demons, or am I fighting the way that it was confusion in my mind? Because this is the way that God created me. That God created me to have these desires. Now sometimes my desires were definitely out of control, but He had created me to have desires. But you're telling me my own natural desires are demonic. So I'm trying to suppress my natural desires, and then I can only suppress for so long, and I go buck wild when I can't hold on no more. Like, come on, man, we have to teach the generation coming after us that this is why you don't have sex. This is why you don't blow your money. This is why you don't do X, Y, and Z. Yeah, it may be considered sinful. Yeah, we get that. But there are so many ramifications that come with that, that a 16-year-old is not, some adults are not emotional enough to handle a sexual relationship. But that's, I ain't about to get into that. I would say Brianna said, because a word curse can sound so discouraging, like it's almost impossible to get free from. Yes, exactly. That is another reason why I stopped saying generational curses, because it sounds so discouraging, like you can never break free from it. But when the Bible said that when Jesus died on the cross, he hung on a tree, he became a curse. So he already broke the curse. Like, there is no curse. The only person that can cause you to be bound by a curse is you. If you believe it, if I believe what you say about me, then the curse becomes real. So I don't subscribe to that. You're absolutely right, because it seems like it's impossible to break free from the curse. But I'm here to tell you that when Jesus died on the cross, he already broke the curse. You already are free. Would you at least say, in part, is why your parents will say, don't repeat what I did. Yes, and do better. They're telling you it's the decision that they made, not something that was cursed. I'm telling you, that is why I always say, do better. Don't do what I did. Don't go spend, like Janae just said, don't go buy all the Ninja products, because I'm telling you right now, you come in my kitchen and I got a display of, I should be a Ninja spokesperson, you know what I'm saying? Because of all the products that I buy from Ninja, I should be a spokesperson, but I lack discipline. Man, you come into my studio and I thank God that he kept me. And this is another thing, and I talked about grace. Give yourself grace and be thankful and praise God at how far you've come. Because another part of sometimes this curse thing is that we don't celebrate where we're at in life. And we make it seem like if I'm not where the next person is and I'm not making it. No, stop and smell the roses. I told y'all we celebrated our Uncle Anthony's 60th birthday party. And it was so great because his daughter, my cousin Ashlyn, got up and she said, I'm going to give you your flowers. I bought you a bouquet of roses because I want you to smell your roses while you're here. Sometimes we have to stop and appreciate where we're at. Look, I may not have everything that I want, but I'm definitely a lot further than where I used to be. Give yourself some grace. Come on. You got to give yourself some grace. You have to celebrate the small wins. Celebrate my small wins. I saw a picture on Facebook yesterday, my memories. Man, Facebook memories can really take you to a place that you don't want to go to. So I saw a picture from my memories, and I didn't share it. I wanted to, but I just didn't. But it was a picture of me preaching at the church we used to go to. Usually when I see posts from that, it usually triggers a lot of bad memories, because as it ended, it didn't end very well for us. And there were a lot of things that are still associated with that place in my life that I'm still working through, traumas and healing in that. You know what I'm saying? It's okay to say you're still healing. Like, ain't nothing wrong with it. Like, don't let nobody tell you that just because you haven't healed that you're not making progress. You're definitely making progress. So I said that to say that I saw that picture, and those pictures on Facebook, I have it, I ain't gonna lie, like I have it blocked to where I usually don't see those memories, just because I don't want those to trigger. I don't want to be triggered by certain things right now. Just, it is what it is. But I saw that picture. My mom had took the picture, and because me and my mom are friends, it showed up. I can't block my mama. I mean, I could, but I'm not. Anyway, it showed up. It was a picture of me preaching in the pulpit at the church that we used to attend. And as I was driving home, I had saw the picture at work, and I was driving home, and I really just began to thank God. Like, man, like, God, I thank you. Just, you know, that even though everything didn't end the way that I thought how I wanted it to, there were so many great things that I can take from that place. And something that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me is just learning how to honor every space that I've been in, even the spaces that ended badly, or even the spaces that didn't honor me, or even the spaces where things didn't go the way that I wanted them to go, I'm learning to find a reason to honor. And I just was like, God, I thank you that, you know, for every opportunity that I had to minister to your people from that pulpit, God, I was thankful that, you know, every class that I was able to teach to help people learn how to hear the voice of God for themselves, or every prophecy that I was able to give that I saw God fulfill. Like, I just begin to be thankful for the things that God had done in that space. And what Brianna says is hard, and it was very hard for me, but it was necessary for me. It's necessary for me, especially for me in this, and where I'm at in my path of this healing. It's very necessary for me to look at those spaces. And number one, it helps me to bring healing. Number two, it helps to bring up any unresolved anger, bitterness, anything else that's in me. I've learned to be content in every situation. I know what it's like when I had, and I know what it was like when I didn't have. So it helps me to be, like I said, number one, just to be thankful. Number two, if I have any unresolved bitterness, unresolved hurt, unresolved anger in my heart, it surfaces. And then I still know you take that back to God, give that back to God. So I said all that to say, celebrate that. We're almost done. I promise y'all. It is, okay, I've been on here for an hour. I told y'all I'd be getting sidetracked. Where my notes go? So I want to read one more scripture, right? This is something that the disciples said, just to let you know that some stuff that we go through is not a result of sin. It's not a result of any curse. It's not a result of anything. But John 9, 1 through 3 says this. As he went along, it's talking about Jesus, he saw a blind man, a man who was blind from birth. I'm reading the NIV and I'm used to the New King James Version. My fault. So his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned? Listen to this, man, listen. His disciples asked him, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Wow, the disciples even thought that somebody in his family had done some type of sin. And so the result of their sin was handed down to this man so that he was born blind. How many of us have walked through life thinking that my circumstances are the result of somebody else's sin? We walk through life thinking that my circumstances, where I'm at in life, my financial situation, me and my kids, me not being able to get a job, me not being able to have a stable relationship, me having whatever, is a result of somebody else's sin. Listen to what Jesus said. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. Nobody sinned. You can read it for yourself. Nobody sinned. Neither this man nor his parents have sinned, Jesus said. But this happened so the works of God might be displayed in him. Listen, I'm about to hop off of here. I want you to take that and understand that sometimes situations in your life is not a result of a generational curse. It's not a result of a generational cycle. It's not a result of a sin. It's not a result of your sin. Some situations in your life are designed so that God will be able to get glory out of it. Man, some things are simply designed so that God will be able to say, I did this. That through us, he can be glorified so that people can see that God is real. I'm going to close. I'm telling you, my daughter was born premature. She was born 6 months at 6 months. She was born 3 months early. She was due in September. She's born in June. 3 days before my birthday, greatest birthday present ever. I think that's why she was born, because God knew that that was the greatest present that could ever be given to me, was to have my daughter born 3 days. It would have been on my birthday, but I think he knew that I would have been a little too selfish to share my birthday with her. But not when I look at Avery, I'm like, you can have my birthday from here on out. Like, I don't care. You're amazing. You can do no wrong in my eyes. You can have my birthday. But anyway, so our daughter was born 3 months early. There was a point when we were attending a ministry that they had like these services, deliverance services, they would hand out these packets, right? And in the packet, dog, it said, if you are born premature, you need deliverance. I've read that and I'm like, wait. So the fact that a person who was born premature, and this hit home for me because my daughter was premature. So you're telling me that I got to spend the rest of my life casting out devils in my daughter because she was born premature. You really believe that a premature birth is the result of some sin? Like, it is a result of something in my life, or the result of something in Randy's life, or the result of my parents or her parents, or something in my bloodline, that my daughter was born premature and as a result she's gonna need deliverance for the rest of her life? It was at that point. She was born in 2018, but we were doing these like way before 2018. It was literally when I read that packet, it was at that point I said, I need to go and study and understand this word a lot more than I do, because some of the stuff that we have people do, it doesn't cause deliverance. It causes more bondage and more trauma. Can you imagine telling somebody that is premature that, oh, the reason why you struggle is because you need deliverance? When the reason why she was born premature could have been, there could have been some issue that if she went full term, that she might not have made it. So because God sees into the future, he knew that she needs to come out now, because if I allow this pregnancy to go full term, the baby's not going to make it. Maybe God knew that if the pregnancy goes on, because how many times have we seen people go full term and they have, I think it's called preeclampsia or things like that happen, and now you're fighting not only for your child, but you're also fighting for the life of the mother of the child. So now instead of losing one person, you're going to lose two people. What if God knew that if my child went full term, that there was a possibility that something could have happened where I'm not sitting here celebrating the life of Avery and Randy, but I'm sitting here mourning the lives of Avery and Randy? See, we have to learn that everything is not a result of somebody's sin. And telling somebody that you're premature, you need deliverance, man, that is so irresponsible. Like, the packet had so many things that were just natural functions of life that said that we needed deliverance. And people would come and go through these services and nothing would change. The reason why I do this is because I don't want anybody to have to deal with anything that I dealt with. Things that kept me bound. Things that kept me stuck. It is, and you're right, Brianna, it is literally insane to tell some parents that your child is going to need deliverance because they were born premature. I wish I still had the packet. So y'all can see that I'm not lying. Because somebody goes, oh, he lied. No, I sat there. I filled it out. I looked at, and at the time, I didn't have any kids. I may have just got married, but I'm going through that packet like, wow, is there anything in us that God can use without everything having to be so demonic? And that is the point of this whole thing. Everything is not a generational curse. Where I came from taught that, that so much to the point where people just, they were never free. There was never any freedom. See, I love church. I love God. I love his people. I love the things of God, but what I can't stand is false teaching, irresponsible leadership, manipulation, control, all those things. I can't stand that stuff. I'm telling you, been there, done that. Dr. Luke, see, you could lose. I'm telling you. And I didn't want to bring up my cousin Tone because I don't tell people's stories. I tell my story, but my cousin Tone is on here and he just shared it. I was at work when he called me. I remember this like to the T when he called. You could lose AJ Parker and AJ if we don't deliver AJ. That I remember the phone call that I got. I was at work dealing with these knucklehead kids at juvenile. And he called me and he told me that. And I instantly went into prayer. But can you imagine him hearing that? And the first thing that the pastors tell you is that, oh yeah, y'all need deliverance because there's something in your bloodline that caused that. No, nigga, it is not anything in my bloodline that caused that. It is just the fact that God knew something that we didn't know. And thank God that we are here to celebrate AJ and Isha and Tone and his family. Thank God I'm able to celebrate Avery and Randy and my family, because had I subscribed to that, man, I would be, I promise you, I would be every day praying God delivered, casting out devils that ain't even in there, causing more trauma to my child than any trauma that can be caused from her being born early. I don't care what nobody say. You can call whoever you want to call. You can tell who you want to call. I stand by it now, just like I stood by it then. This is crazy. There's no way. So what am I saying? I'm saying all this to say, listen, man, don't let nobody gaslight you into thinking that your bloodline is cursed. Your bloodline ain't cursed. There's a reason why I talked about that picture first, because those are the thoughts that I still have when I see those pictures. And so I had to read that scripture. Like, man, it's not a result of my sin. It's not a result of Randy's sin. God wanted that so that he could get the glory. That's just what I have to come to tell myself, because I can't find any reason why God would punish an innocent child with to be born early to say that you got to go through deliverance for the rest of your life. I don't care. Yeah, I meant that. And I don't care. Go tell who you want. If people watching, I don't care. I don't care, because I lived in bondage for so long that when I got free, I even thought my freedom was a curse. You'll catch that. I thought my freedom was cursed. I'm telling you, I thought the way that I thought in freedom was wrong, that it was sinful to think that, because I was so ingrained in this teaching, in these doctrines, that I didn't know what true freedom looked like. And when I got free and when I started to break free, I would see people make statuses and say things about my process and my progress, about Randy's process and her progress. And it just let me know, like, you know what? Y'all crazy. I'm telling you, I ain't gonna say it again, but y'all niggas was crazy. Like, nah, dog. Like, if my freedom irritates you, then go work out your own demons. Go work out your own soul salvation, as the Bible said. Go work out your own soul salvation. I'm telling you, I do this, and I'll take the arrows, whatever may come with it. But if one person is free, I know that one person can go set somebody else free, because it ain't about me. It ain't about us. It's about doing the work of God. I'm telling you, it's about doing the work of God. So I just want to say, man, I love y'all. There's another scripture that I forgot, but if you get a chance, go read Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, read the entire chapter. And I encourage you to read it in the NIV, because it'll show you that even in the Old Testament, in that scripture, it breaks down how I'm telling you, I ain't gonna get going. But if you get an opportunity, I encourage you to read Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, and that deals with this thing that we call generational curses. It says, the Bible says, and God even said that basically each person's sin, they'll be judged for their own sin. And that's what we taught in the New Testament. But Ezekiel says it, that it goes on and gives like all these examples about generations, that if a father does all these things, his son does not have to bear the brunt. And then if his son is unjust and has a just son, you know what I'm saying? Like, so you got to go read it. But basically it's saying that you don't have to follow the patterns of things that people did before you, that your freedom lies in your hands, that we have choices to make, and that in order to break the cycle, that we have to do things differently. I don't have to follow the patterns that were done before me. If I came from an alcoholic family, I don't have to be an alcoholic. Yes, I do believe that there are patterns and cycles that we can be prone to repeat. But I believe I'm talking to a generation of people who are prone to not repeat those cycles because they don't want their children to experience what we experienced. And some of the stuff we experienced wasn't bad, but some of the stuff is like, man, like, it's crazy. Like, at 42 years old, I'm gonna tell you, at 42 years old, I'm experiencing real freedom. Things that I thought were sins are not sins. Things that I thought was sinful is not sinful. Man, that's why I encourage you to read that word for yourself, because you'll find out that a lot of the stuff in the cycles that we repeat, we just repeat them because we never took the time to understand where they came from, why they did it, the circumstances. You don't have to be a product of your environment. You know what I mean? I shared that last because it's real. When you know better, you do. Look at that. All my cousins are. See, I'm talking to all my cousins who are, I ain't gonna tell y'all ages. I'm 42, and y'all can figure out how old they are if we all grew up and graduated around the same time. Okay, so I'll be 42 this year. And if we are, have been born between the years of 1982 and 1984, y'all can, you know, put the dots where you may about how old they are. But I love when y'all on here, because even though we're miles apart in different cities and states, our experiences are so similar because we grew up in the same era. And because of that, we can relate and resonate with one another. And the stuff that we're talking about is not far-fetched. It's so real. So y'all can figure out how old they are if y'all want to. I'm gonna tell y'all again, I'll be 42. Some of them were born in the same year I was born in as well, and do the math. But man, I love y'all. And I mean that. I love each and every one of y'all. You know what I'm saying? I can't wait. Yeah. So we back on next week. We're going to keep just breaking this thing down, helping so that we all can be free. And that's what we're doing, man. Thank y'all again for always tuning in, for sticking with me for this hour and 15. I'm trying to condense it, but sometimes the conversation gets so good, you don't realize how long you've been on here. So this has just been another episode of Whole, Healed, and Healthy. Listen, the Bible says that, beloved, I want you to prosper even as your soul prospers, that God wants you to be whole, healed, and healthy, that everything about your life, God wants to prosper. It starts with us dealing with our emotions, our traumas, our triggers. It starts with us dealing with those things that we don't want to deal with, because if we're not whole and healthy for us, listen, we can't be whole and healthy for somebody else. So again, read Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, to understand that you're not cursed. You're not living under a curse. Your kids ain't cursed. Your grandkids ain't cursed. Your great-great-grandkids ain't cursed. You may be a product of cycles, but you don't have to continue those cycles, right? That you can be whole, you can be healed, and you can be healthy. Listen, we back on next Wednesday at 10:30 again. Maybe we'll kind of keep the conversation based on this, I don't know, but man, I love y'all and I mean that. So until next time, man, listen, do something good for yourself this week. Week ain't over. It's Wednesday. It's hump day. Do something good for yourself. Take yourself to the movies. I know we talk about being disciplined, but sometimes you got to go buy yourself a little something. You know, a little retail therapy ain't that bad, but do something good for yourself so that you can be better for the next person. So until next time, I love y'all. Peace.